In today's gospel from John, and it is situated while Jesus is at the Last Supper, he tells the disciples that God will send the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, to them. The idea of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost has been difficult for some people to comprehend. Perhaps it has to do with the word spirit, which conjures images of otherworldly beings, beings removed from this physical realm and the practicalities of life. But the Latin word spirit, like its Greek and Hebrew counterparts, originally meant breath, that particular thing which separates the living from the dead. It meant that which makes us alive, the particular power of life in each one of us. And when that power is particularly strong, it's catching. So we have inspiring people like the late Pope Francis and groups like the Golden State Warrior fans. God too has a spirit, and it is highly contagious, for it is the very spirit of life. Jesus says, "These things I've spoken to you while I'm still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." Today, 2 weeks before we celebrate the great Feast of Pentecost, we hear the gospel in which Jesus promises the Advocate. The Greek word paraclete means counselor, one who pleads and defends our cause, one who fights at our back, and one who will comfort us. The Holy Spirit is that which is among us, between us, and inside us, very much like breath. Jesus says that the Spirit will continue and complete the teachings, his teachings, and remind us of all he said. In other words, as we say in one of the Eucharistic prayers, she will complete Jesus' work in the world and bring about the sanctification of all. Since I've just referred to the Holy Spirit as she, I'd like to say a brief word about gender. Increasingly, New Testament scholars use the pronoun she, although traditionally it's been he. If we look back to the Hebrew and Greek originals, we find that either is actually correct, but she is slightly more so. I also quoted the Book of Common Prayer, which says she will bring about the sanctification of all. Sanctification is a rather formidable word and means, according to the Interpreter's Dictionary of the Bible, the realization or progressive attainment of likeness to God or to God's intention for humanity. It may be regarded both as a status confirmed by divine grace and as a goal to be arrived at. Another way of saying it is that it is the spiritual equivalent of turning a sow's ear into a silk purse. It's the second stage in the process of salvation, the first being that act of God which begins a person on his or her faith journey. A contemporary hymn speaks for the Holy Spirit, saying, "I was there to hear your warning cry. I'll be with you when you're old. I rejoiced the day you were baptized to see your life unfold." The process begins when we're first gathered into the church, and it works both through our own labors, through the community and prayers of the faithful, through grace in the world at large, but ultimately through the Holy Spirit. Even secular Shakespeare wrote in Hamlet, "There's a divinity that shapes our ends, rough-hew them how we will." For those who have become aware of sanctification, and I suspect that many of us have had and glimpsed moments in which day-to-day realities have been suffused with a sense of the presence of God. For those of us with such experiences, this makes sense. And for those who are not quite sure, let me read you a poem by Mary Oliver titled, "Praying." It doesn't have to be the blue iris. It could be weeds in a vacant lot or a few small stones. Just pay attention. Then patch a few words together and don't try to make them elaborate. This isn't a contest, but a doorway into thanks and a silence in which another voice may speak. Jesus continued his statement, saying, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." We all need peace. We need it here in 2025 in Los Gatos, California. It's been another rough week for the world. I know most of you read and hear the same news I do. Ongoing wars, the continued killing of innocents in Gaza, starvation in Africa, which could have been prevented, another ambush of a world leader in the Oval Office, a heartbreaking hate killing, a budget which has passed the House of Representatives, which could deprive many of this nation's poor of food and medical care. God's will is clearly not being done on earth as it is in heaven. "Peace I leave with you," Jesus said to his disciples. What is that peace? We understand peace as tranquility, freedom from disturbance, a state or period after a war has ended. The word in New Testament Greek is eirene, from which we get the English word irenic, meaning aimed at peace. Sadly, that seems very much out of reach now. The word for peace in Hebrew is shalom, and it means a number of things. It means both hello and goodbye, as well as completeness and wholeness. It means peace from enemies, always the great desire of nations, and inward peace. But shalom pushes into the future. It's both now and aspirational, the result of everyone having enough to eat, having access to work, and the ability to use their gifts. It's the fulfillment of justice and the sense of joy and goodwill that comes when all is well. That too seems out of reach. And yet, "peace be with you" is also the greeting that Jesus used after the resurrection, when the world as the disciples knew it had been turned upside down. Somehow the peace he offered them and still offers us is no less possible now than it was after that first Easter. He says his peace is not as the world gives. To me, it means that the peace of Christ involves courage, truth-telling, and justice, all based in love. One old beloved hymn says, "The peace of God, it is no peace, but strife closed in the sod." I'm not sure I agree with those words, but they do give me pause. Each Sunday after the prayers of the people, we repeat Jesus' words, "Peace be with you," to each other. We're bid to do that even in difficult times. Since liturgy means the work of the people of God, at some point we might ask, what labor or spiritual lift passing God's peace does toward furthering the reign of God? Another good question might be to ask what peace means to each of us and what it means for us to offer it to those around us. And does it extend beyond these walls? These times require us to think hard about how we bring peace to the world, and our second lesson might help us with that. The lesson from the Revelation continues images from the last few Sundays with descriptions of the beautiful vision of a new heaven and new earth. It's a vision that makes clear that God wants to be present with us and we will find our home together. It is a new world in which there's no pain or suffering, and it urges us to think what might be rather than what is. Envisioning a new way of being is something that many have done, from Mother Teresa to John Lennon. And in doing so, their visions have challenged and moved humanity further along in history. Abraham Lincoln envisioned a new order in this country after the Civil War when he said, "With malice toward none, with charity for all." And Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. envisioned a new order when he said, "I have a dream." All those who have imagined a new world knew that it involved work, often long and discouraging work, cleaning after the sick and dying in the case of Mother Teresa, and enduring billy clubs and snarling dogs in the case of Dr. King. What is your vision of peace? It's worth noting in our liturgy that the prayer that often concludes the prayers of the people and precedes the passing of peace refers to both today's gospel and the Revelation reading. Let me remind you of the words. "Lord Jesus Christ, you said to your apostles, 'Peace I give to you, my own peace I leave with you.' Regard not our sins, but the faith of your church, and give to us the peace and unity of that heavenly city where with the Father and the Holy Spirit you live and reign now and forever." I think we can trust that the peace Jesus gives us will be enough to lead us and see us through, that it includes strength for the work and bread for the journey. He has shown us that love is the way, both our means and our end. And now the time and the task is ours. Amen.